y'all sorry ASS team got people trying to talk bad about Jaden?
Oh, Florida?
That it was like, what game did he have? Because he had 600 yards against Florida.
He did have a hell of a game against Florida.
Y'all so sorry, people don't even respect it.
We are sorry. Like, I like, you know, I like to argue, but I'm a realist. We're bad.
Y'all are?
Yeah, we're bad.
And what's crazy is I wanted Napier.
Really?
Yeah, because he's right there at UL. I thought he had recruited the area before. Boy, was I wrong.
He doesn't got enough. He don't have enough shit to him.
Really?
Like, he's pleasant. Like, I really? Like him.
I like him, too, though. Yeah, I met
I
him.
I like him. Mm-hmm. I met him. He named the trophy after me.
Yeah.
Like, he's a good human. Sit down in his office, talk to him. But, like,
no, like, nobody develops quarterbacks no more.
That's the problem.
You go get him.
Hold on, other school.
Congrats, big
yes,
dog.
Yes, sir.
Congrats, boy. What's up, man?
Proud of you, man. Good, man. Happy for
good,
you, dog.
Good. I'm good. For sure.
Hell,
sure.
Man. Appreciate you, too. Hell.
You already started the circuit? They got you moving around already?
Yeah, I'm about to be done after this.
So y'all did the whole week was all the award shows.
Yeah.
Do so, you go to every single thing?
No, I just went to Baltimore for the Johnny Unitas, and they took the other award show away with the Davey O'Brien and all that stuff. They took that away. So from Baltimore, I flew up here, and I've just been in here the rest of the week.
Yeah,
see, I'm gonna just tuck mine in. Some things in his ear, boy. Oh, goodness.
Did you see the chain last night, though, on top of the tie?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. What? Usually, you don't get a check till you hit the league, but now it's NIL. Y'all got bread.
Trying to.
Bro, it's the most lit school in the world.
Listen,
you see
we were
your
just
damn
trying to get some nice kicks when we was in college. Y'all got the kicks, the bling blingy, the Rolexes.
I'm happy about it.
Yes, sir. We are too, brother.
It's because he hung around longer than I thought he was. After that freshman year, I was like, shoot, JD gonna be going to three.
Yeah, man. Hey, I hung around two more extra years.
Yeah, it worked out.
It paid off.
Did it work out? Look at his jacket.
That bitch worked out.
Hold up. Limitless. They got some cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Niggas send me cap in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling, got me up. On the mission, got me up. Knowing me, I got the key.
But welcome to the pivot, bro. This is 5 years in the making.
Yep.
You know, I met you in 19 when you committed to Arizona State. I remember saying it. November 23rd, 2019, y'all beat Oregon. Mm-hmm. And I was like, man, he gonna win the Heisman one day. I didn't know it would be at my alma mater, so I'm fired up about that. But I'm just so happy for you, man. You deserve it more so just because you're just a great human. Good kid, man, always been, man. So I'm happy. This is Chan, Freddie T. I hang around Gators a lot, you know. We were just talking about what you did to him, too.
Hey, we don't gotta bring that up. Let's talk about Jake. We don't gotta bring that shit up. Man, threw for 1,000 of them.
Man, what is just talk a little bit about the experience of winning the Heisman Trophy last night.
It was dope. It was like a surreal moment because that's something that me and my pops talked about for the longest. You know, he big football fan. You know, he was telling me about Charlie Ward, all those type of guys, and Andre Ward, you know. And then for me, like, it kind of just hit me where I had a chance where I was like, okay, I might have a chance at this was when Lamar won it. Mm. You know, just seeing Lamar, because Lamar looked just like me, you know. Yeah. We played similar, so seeing him do what he did, you know, I just that meant a lot, you know. And when I heard my name called, I just picked up that trophy, and all that just came in my head. I just started reminiscing about stuff like that.
Is it that stressful? Like, the whole process, because it's not like you're trying to get somewhere. You're waiting to be called the best player in the world at your sport. Like, is it stressful? Did you sleep the night before?
A little bit. I ain't gonna lie. It's just, like, just a suspense behind it, especially, like, leading up to where it's, like, all of us is sitting right there and you waiting to see if you're gonna win or not. Like, my heart, I ain't gonna lie, my heart was beating. Like, because I was like, man, I don't know if I'm gonna win. Hopefully they call my name. I mean, you have Mike Penix, Bo Nix, and Mar, so it's like any of us could have won it.
Yeah.
So I was like, man, as soon as he called my name, that's why my head just dropped, because I was like, ooh.
And your speech, you said, this is wild. You had an opportunity to meet all the other former Heisman winners.
Yeah.
What was that moment like, and did you get any, like, real solid words of advice from those guys?
it was dope because you see, like, people like Archie Griffin, the only person that won in back-to-back years. You seeing Tony D, yeah. Tebow, RG3. You seeing even people that won in the 50s, like Mike Garrett, all those guys, Steve Spurrier, 60s, 70s, all that type of stuff. So it's like, you mean all those type of people that, and now you're a part of the fraternity. And, you know, they just told me, like, your life is about to change. And, you know, just enjoy the moment, enjoy every little thing you can.
You ready for your Heisman commercial? Because those commercials are pretty cool. Those Heisman commercials pretty dope. You ready for it?
I am. So, I don't know. We're going to see what it's about, but I'm ready to do it.
Oh, we got a new commercial. Ooh. We're going to have a commercial during the show. Come on in, man. I heard it's heavy. I'm not trying to hold it. Only, I mean, give it to the man. He can put it wherever he wants.
I don't think we allowed to touch it.
Yeah, like, it's a secret society. All they ask is trust.
Yeah.
JD, when you first picked it up, was it heavier than you thought?
Oh, yeah, it was. Actually, like... I made sure, because I was like, man, I'm not going to be the one to look like I'm struggling trying to hold this thing up. So I made sure I had engaged my core and everything.
I'm not touching it.
I'm going to touch it here. I ain't had a chance again, shit. Put it over here by me.
Let's go back
Make sure you slide it way back.
Both of us, we're going to keep it at my house.
Nah, we're going to keep it at his house. That's that man's trophy. You finna Reggie Bush him before it even start. They got NIL now. You can't do that. Let's take it back, though, man, a little bit further. Once you heard your name called, how long did it take you, man, to think back to your grandparents? To think back to just what they meant to you, you know, your grandfather bringing you to practice, all of those different things, and, you know, having dealt with losing them, you know, during COVID, and now... to be at a moment that you know would mean so much to them.
Yeah, I'll just say I was reminiscing about them the whole time because, like I said, when I'm meeting those former winners, and, you know, my grandpa used to tell my dad about them. So, like, seeing my dad there interacting with them, like, man, my dad would have been so happy, you know, that I'm talking to you right now. And he's just saying, like, man, your pawpaw would have been excited that you're over here part of this journey, like you, Jim Pluckett, all those type of cats.
Yeah.
So I was reminiscing about them the whole weekend and wishing, you know, that I was able to call him like, yo, Pawpaw, I met such and such. Right. You know, seeing the smile on his face, you know, how much trash he talks, you know, just going from there. But it probably just hit me, like I said, when I got on the stage, I was like, man, this is wild because, like, everything that he taught my dad taught me, and even he was teaching me, like, it all just paid off in that moment. And, you know, I got a long way to go, but I was just happy to be in that moment.
And Jay, that year when your grandparents passed, and that was your third year at ASU, and that's when people started criticizing you. What was it, 10 touchdowns, 10 interceptions?
Yep.
In retrospect, because we all know at the time when you balling, you're just trying to play.
Yeah.
But in retrospect, that down year was because of the pressure, the stress of losing your grandparents. Does it all attribute back to that?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, obviously COVID was COVID, but going in January, like, I lost my grandpa beginning of January, and I kind of figured out, like, I found out, like, my grandma was basically on her last life, you know, at the end, like, 2 weeks later. So they decided to take her off on her birthday in February. Knowing that and then having to just deal with everything, like, the pressure of, you know, being the face of Arizona State and then the pressure of the family, everybody's dealing with different emotions, and people are trying to come to me, you know, I'm 19, 20, just turned 20 years old. So it was like, that's just something I was dealing with. And it was like, it was a lot. And I just wasn't ready to handle all that.
You pulled your grandmother off of life support. It was on her birthday. And your grandfather, it was on their anniversary.
Yeah.
How difficult was it not being able to see him, especially with the sort of closeness you guys had as a relationship?
Yeah, it was very difficult because I ain't seen him since, because of COVID, I ain't seen him since June, right before we went back to school. Mm-hmm. June 1st, 2020 was the last time I seen him. So not being able to see him, and I still remember the day, like, he called me on the phone, like, the night before he passed. He's like, man, I love you. And then that's the last conversation I have with him.
Man, right, yeah, that's tough.
I was around then.
Yeah.
So I knew, but I also understood how you were treated then. You went from being the face of an entire organization, and I love the fact that you mentioned AP. Mm-hmm. Obviously, one of my best friends, you know, reason Jordan was there, but also a huge reason you were there.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, you know, the teammates you had at Arizona State. When you left, Jordan called me hot,
yeah.
You know, why, you know, and they're going through your locker and the videos put out of them saying those negative things about you, knowing what you had done at that school, how were you able to, in your biggest moment, reflect on some of those teammates, those coaches, and that experience, and say positive things about what you learned there and how they helped you grow and get to this point as well?
I used to say AP, Coach Herm, I still remember Coach Herm, my grandpa, they was hitting it off on my little home visit, so that resonated with me, and you know, Marv. You know, yeah. Marv, they all played a big part while I was there. And then some of the teammates, like the whole thing with the video stuff, like that is what it is. But I know who the real ones were, like Jordan, Ladarius, Ricky, you know, all those type of guys, Shot. Everybody always had my back. And, you know, just like without them, I wouldn't be in this position. The good and the bad. The bad gave me more, you know, that gave me more motivation to, you know, go show something else. And, you know, the good is like they always supported me no matter what. So, for me to be on that platform, be able to give them thanks, you know, just for everything, you know, that was a big opportunity for me.
Yeah, I thought that was big, you know, AP's and Antonio Pierce, now the interim head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders. When you transferred, bro, one, I was like, JD never calls me. So that's how I knew LSU was doing a good job.
Yeah.
I hit him when he first got there. I was like, you need me now, let me know. He ain't never need me. So life must have been good.
Did you have his back at Arizona State, though?
I had his back at Arizona.
Okay.
My guy.
Anyway. Yeah.
That's my dog. I ain't gonna never switch up.
Never.
You get to LSU, what sort of adjustments did you have to make? Because it's not only an adjustment from being from the West Coast and having to deal with different people. I'm sure a lot of them you couldn't even understand when they were talking to you. But you also get to this place that is really big time football.
Yeah.
And you got the Malik's and the BT's and the different level of player. What was that sort of adjustment like for you? And how much did you sort of relish in meeting that challenge?
Like you said, they got dogs. LSU has dogs for sure. Like Malik, BT, and they wasn't like who they are now. Yeah. So we all kind of like grew up together even more. Even though I'm older and then we all still challenged each other. When I first got there, it was just like, I'm just trying to figure myself out. I'm trying to just play the role, do what I can, just show that I belong. And, you know, as the season went on and progressed, you know, I started getting more and more comfortable. But this offseason is, like, where we really, like, start challenging each other. Like, if Malik wasn't on his stuff, I'm over here getting on him. He getting on me. Like, everybody's holding each other accountable. And I just feel like that's how we've grown the most. We know what we want for our future. You know, we got goals that we set. You know, I'm going to do whatever it takes to help you reach it, and it's vice versa.
And Jay, I got to hear from the horse's mouth because I read all the stories. You got in the transfer portal late.
Yeah.
But the sanctions, and then it was the coaching changes, and it was all that. I heard all the articles. Why did you leave Arizona State?
Man, it was just so much uncertainty there, just with everybody. You know, AP was gone. I didn't know anything about Coach Herm and stuff like that. So I was like, man, I got to go somewhere else. I got to get I got to start fresh. I got to go somewhere else. And for me, I was like, man, I seen what Bryce Young and CJ Stroud, what those guys are doing on this big stage, and I grew up playing against them. I was like, man, I know I could do it. So I was like, I talked to my parents, like, man, I'm into the portal, you know, and take a chance on me. And then LSU came knocking, and I was like, man, I can't pass up this opportunity. You know, you play in the SEC, you play in the best conference, you know, and you play on national television every week. So I was like, man, I need to go out there and show and prove that I can play and show everybody I can.
You're talking about starting fresh. Let's go back.
Yeah.
So much, you've always been a special player, so much so that your freshman year, you had to sign a waiver in order to play as a ninth grader.
Yeah.
In that season, I think you led your team to league championship. You had 2,600-yard pass and 35 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You were always ready for big time.
Yeah.
How? Like, growing up, what were your goals growing up?
Yeah, I mean, my goal growing up, I wanted to play in the NFL. That's the biggest thing, you know. I love basketball, but I was like, I seen something like, man, I could do something in football. Probably like eighth grade, ninth grade. And like you said, I had to sign that waiver because I was too young to play on varsity. So they shut me down at first. And I was like, man, nah, I need to play. You know, even though my mom didn't want me to play, I was like, she was like, man, I'm going to just let you do it. You know, this is your life.
Yeah.
You know, me and my dad sent her, we're begging her, like, man, I want to play. And then, so for me, it was like, I always just growing up, I've always been winning. Even back to my youth football days, you know, we was always dominating. always winning. So when I had the opportunity to go out there and play as a 14-year-old freshman, I was like, man, I'm just playing football. I'm just having fun. And whatever comes with it, comes with it. And, you know, I had a successful high school career, and just I was able to move on. And you know, I say I stand myself as the best to come out of my San Bernardino.
You know, your high school stats, we had Bijan on the show, like, probably last offseason. Yeah. And Bijan high school stats are, like, literally, when you look at them, they look fake. You know, they're like video game stats. But yours were, too, and that was both passing and rushing the ball. But you even said it in your speech that your pops was training you to be a corner. Yeah. And I think he was corner at, what, UW, yeah, Iowa State. And so when was the conversation or when was the switch to wanting to play quarterback? Because he a big San Fran fan.
Yeah.
And he used to make you watch the 1992 drive in the Super Bowl from Joe Montana. So how was that switch? And when did you really start to know that playing the quarterback position, you could be special with your talent?
Man, I told him I wanted to play quarterback when I was 8. You know, I seen Michael Vick running around, so I was like, I always want the ball in my hand. I want to do something with it. But I play everywhere, so I play quarterback. I was still playing defense, you know, as a little kid, just playing all positions on the field. So I would say probably when I was like, man, I'm like solely focused on quarterback, it was just high school.
Gotcha.
Probably after my freshman year, I was like, man, I think I could do something with this. You know, and I just took it from there, and I just kept working. Start getting the proper training that I needed because I was already just thugging it out, honestly. I'm back there throwing the ball. My dad tried to teach me. He don't know too much. And then we started getting the quarterback coach. It started going from there.
Yeah, you look at, you know, where you are now. I want to talk about last year's game versus Alabama.
Yeah.
Right, because it was still you've been at LSU, bro. Everybody now got to be Joe Burrow. You know what I'm saying? Like, it don't matter what you do, what the statistics look like. If you're not doing what Joe Burrow did, they weren't accepting it. But, you know, that game different, yeah. Right? You got a bye week before you play in that game, both teams.
First week of November.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know exactly what it's going to be. You know, when you have the big run, when you make the play to Mason in the corner of the end zone, what was that experience like? Because it even felt to me in Baton Rouge, that's when everybody was like, oh, okay, Jaden's our guy.
That was life-changing. You know, going to overtime, everybody's saying, like, man, this is the game. I'm like, you know, it's another game to me. But, you know, that was ranked number 5. We was ranked 10, so it was a top 10 matchup, nighttime in Death Valley. So that's when I really experienced, like, nighttime in Death Valley. You know, I'm playing against one of my friends, Bryce. You know, we've been battling our whole life, so now we battle on the biggest stage. And I still remember, you know, he made the little play, broke like 5 tackles, threw the ball down the sideline, and he's staring at the bench.
Right.
So I was like, man, I can't let him beat me. So we drive down the field, we score, they go back and kick a field goal, so we go to overtime, and, you know, they get ball first. So I'm like, the coaches on the headset talking like, man, what, like, the assistant telling me, like, yeah, this is what they're talking about. I was like, man, if they call a read option, like, I'm gonna call game. Like, I said that. And then he like, for real? I was like, yeah, tell them call it. So they call it. And then the end did enough for me to get outside of him. You know, everybody did a great job blocking them from there. And then I'm looking back, because against Florida State, we kicked the extra point.
Yep.
So I'm looking back, I was like, man, no, we're going for 2. Like, we got to end this game because I'm not letting Bryce get another shot. Like, we got to go for 2. And Coach Kelly was with it. We go out there, and we end up calling a timeout. And Coach Kelly on the headset, and he was like, I want number 5 on the perimeter so he can do whatever he wants. There's nothing there, he can run. Right. I just want the ball on 5 hands. So we end up calling a perfect play because we knew they were going to run man coverage in. You know, we got a couple of rubs and, you know, Mason made the play. But after that, it was just like life-changing because I think that's the first time LSU beat Alabama at home in like over a decade. So it's been a while. So being able to be a part of history like that, you know, that was sick.
Listen, nighttime, Death Valley is not a good place to play.
Not at all.
They banged us up down there too. Listen, I want to place you on the spot real quick. You got that beautiful Heisman Trophy over there. Would you trade that for a national championship?
Honestly, I probably would. I mean, if I wanted Natty, I probably still get it. But
yes, true statement.
But
yeah, true statement.
But I would want to win a Natty, and that's something that I dreamed about, is be able to go out there. And I was trying to win on every level.
Right.
You know, high school, college. You know, hopefully in the pros. But I will trade for a natty because that's just something that you can't get back. That's like you and your brothers work so hard to accomplish something like that. And I wish I was able to give them that.
There will be a lot of young players look up to you for being a Heisman Trophy winner. But you graduated early.
Yeah.
Did graduating early allow you to focus more on football? Like, what's a day in the life of a player that graduates early? Like, what's your schedule?
I graduated early because I was tired of school, and then I told my mom, like, if I go to the NFL early, like, I'm gonna get my degree before I leave. Mm. So I made that promise to her. So that's something I had to accomplish. But now, me graduating early, it was, like you said, allowed me to focus on football more and, you know, be more of a pro. You know, I got my online classes, I knocked that out, but I'm up there spending all day at the building, you know, trying to get better each and every way that I can. So, you know, when I get to the next level, the transition isn't as hard.
You know, talk about a little bit about your off season, because it was, you needed to gain weight.
Yeah.
But it was also sort of a mixture of, like, some pro quarterback stuff mm-hmm. mixed in with what you had to do with your team. Explain a little bit how that helped you improve so much from last year, which was a great year, yeah. an all-conference year, to this year, which was a Heisman Trophy winning year.
Putting on the weight, I put on like 10, 12 more pounds. So I've been playing at like 205, 206, mm-hmm. around there. And then, but for me, it was like every little break we had, I was out. I was out training. I was out in California training with Taylor Kelly and 3DQB, you know, trying to get better no matter what. So
who else is out there, JD? Is that where CJ and Bryce
trained
too?
That's where CJ and Bryce was training at too. Yeah. So, you know, we was all training together. While they doing their little pre-draft stuff, I was always back, you know, working out with them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they made jokes like, man, you got a lot of breaks. Like, you always out here. I was like, man, I'm trying to get the work in. Like, they had a little camp where they'll go to Dallas, the quarterback crew. They go to Dallas. So I'm flying in Dallas on the weekend.
Right.
I'm just trying to get better. Like, we had a little Mardi Gras break. You know, I'm over here working out. Mm. So, I mean, every little thing, I was just trying to get better because, I mean, I came back and I was like, I want to be different. Like, I want to do something different.
Before anyone meets you, they meet Regina, right? they meet your mom. Like, that was the first one I met. Like, you know, AP, we've been so close for so long. He was just telling me, like, we're gonna get Jay Daniels, we're gonna get Jay yeah. Daniels. And then when they got you, I meet you, you shake my hand. I was like, well, he doesn't even talk. You know what I mean? I was like, he's quiet, he's chill. But then every game, every road game, every home game, your mother was right there, man. Yeah. Front center, always cheering, always supporting you. What has, not only just growing up, but what has this college journey been like for the two of you? Starting at Arizona State, then at LSU, and then now to have that moment with your father, Jay, your mother, where you win the award and you get to give them, and especially her flowers.
Yeah, man, just the sacrifice they made for me. My mom ain't never miss a game. You know, she was allowed that. You know, COVID year, you know, we couldn't have fans, but every game, if it's raining out there, she's gonna be out there. If it's minus degrees, she's gonna be out there, you know, standing up the whole time, making sure she's cheering me on, because she said, I'm on the field, she can't sit down, you know, she gotta keep her eye on me. So, I mean, just the sacrifices my mom made, you know, both my parents made, you know, just to help me get to this point, you know, and to raise that trophy, it was just time for me to give them their flowers, because everything they've done for me, I've been so grateful for it.
Oh, I was gonna say, Jay, you talking about, like, you know, Arizona to Louisiana, your mom gonna come to everything.
Yeah.
But that transfer portal is huge right now. We were coming in, bro, nobody transferred when we was
right.
in school, but now it's huge for you to have the success, because a lot of dudes transfer and they go right back into being nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, what advice would you give them dudes that start transferring? Because every single year, it's 20, 30 dudes transferring school to school, but they ain't holding this bitch after they transfer.
Yeah, there were the first day of the portal, it was 1,183 players in the portal.
That's crazy.
I'll just say the grass ain't always greener. I mean, you gotta know, like, if I go in the portal, like, I have a home, mm-hmm. kind of. It's just like, man, you can't go out there blinded, because if you go out there blinded, you might be stuck in it, because, you know, the old school can pull your scholarship, and, you know, you're not gonna have a home. So it's like, the grass ain't always greener. Like, you a young kid, and you feel like, you know, I want to go somewhere and play. You never know, because everybody trying to look for somebody with experience now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they want to win games, and, you know, experience obviously helps, especially in college and in the pros. So it's like, man, you got to make the best decision for you, but you got to know the consequences that can come with it if you don't have a home.
Freddie T. Chan, we're back again, man. DraftKings, we appreciate you for sponsoring this show. And any new customer that signs up right now, use the promo code PIVOT. You place a $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets.
I watch out for y'all, baby, with my same game parlays. It's getting cold, fellas. You know what that slows down? Is the passing game. Mm. Maybe some unders in passing. Mm. Pick a side. You got same game parlays. And I got to go with my no sweat bets. Your bet doesn't hit, you get a bonus bet,
man,
right?
No sweat, they ain't even got to flip their draws.
Come on now, I don't even flip me a draw.
I love the same game parlays. I like some money line too parlays, man. If you want to get in the game, you got to download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. And if it's not in your area, don't worry. This is always my message. Get the DraftKings Daily Fantasy, and you still can get some money. Make it happen.
Sign up, use the promo code PIVOT. You place a $5 bet, you get $150 in bonus bets. Now back to the show.
It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year.
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations. Forgotten. The history.
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You showed Sherm some love last night. You said he annoying. That's your boy and you love
him.
The one cool thing, and you know, like I don't come around a lot, but I'm always paying attention.
Yeah.
The one cool thing is he always, and he mentioned it last night in his tweet, that you found Christ.
Yeah.
And you found your faith. And you also mentioned in different times when you were getting interviews and stuff about the fact that you knew God had you and your faith in him has helped you. Just for a young man to proclaim that publicly is big. And the kids that are watching you and the people that do look up to you, talk a little bit about how that has helped you continue to grow.
I mean, without him, none of this is possible. I wouldn't be in this position, you know, to raise that trophy or anything. I had the accolades. I'm just blessed to go out there and just play football. And, you know, everything I do, I just try to glorify him with it. You know, I got a platform to speak, you know, just give him his praise and, you know, move on, because that's all he wants at the end of the day is us to praise him. And, yeah, speaking about Sherm, I mean, Sherm, you know, he's big in his faith. And when I came to LSU, you know, that's kind of where we started. Building our relationship, we got real tight and real close. And you've been up there every time I'm around. He right there next to me, always calling around. But you know, he's a great human being, and people don't really know Sherm. You know, that some people, I think he needs more of his respect and his flowers for everything he does. Just for the players, you know, everybody feels comfortable talking to him. He's always just helpful to everybody. He's always there for everybody. So. That's why in my speech, I was just shouting to everybody out, you know, behind closed doors that'll really get the recognition.
Yeah. You know, let's talk about it now. What was the day like when you put up 1,000 yards on Florida? Like, did you wake up that morning, you know, and you looked to you at the roster, or you watched the film and you thought to yourself, oh, that's barbecue chicken? Or
I don't know who you was picking on.
Who?
He know who he was picking on that right side. I ain't gonna say the young man's name.
He rushed for 202 though, Jay.
I know, he was picking on all of them.
But when you having a night like that, which is, that was very high schoolish for you. You know what I mean? Like those were the sort of games that you could have in high school when you just proved to the world you are beyond a shadow of a doubt the best player on the field. But when that's going, man, when the pass game is going, then you go for 85 down the sideline, then you get another one for plus 50, and all of these things are happening. While you're in the moment, can you even sort of register what you're doing? Or, like, when did it actually hit you that you accomplished something that no player had ever done in college football?
I'm an LSU Tiger, so I always love playing Florida. Like, even Florida last year, I had 6 touchdowns against Florida. So, you know, that's just something, you know, they don't like us. So, you know, we don't like them. But going into that game, I was really just coming off. I just got clear at the end of the week, so from the concussion. So I didn't really practice that whole week. Me personally, I go out there, I mind my business, and I'm doing my thing. They start trying to talk to me, so it was like, you know, they kind of just started me up, and especially like during the game early on, I think it was one play I got tackled from behind on third down. You know, they coming, everybody, I'm on their sideline, everybody's getting in my face, pushing me, stuff like that. So I'm like, all right, man, like, I'm not playing no more. So I told him at the end of the game, I was like, man, y'all done woke up a monster. I said, everything that happened, I mean, it's y'all fault. You know, I was really just chilling.
I hate your question. I hate your answer. As long as y'all know that. But another thing too, bro, we all SEC guys, honestly. Yeah. Is that SEC different?
It is.
The speed, which we always brag about it, but is that SEC different?
It is different. I mean, it's different just up front. Like, you know, you got monsters that could run 4.5, you know, big 300 athletic, you know, that they built. So it's like every week you're going to get somebody, you're going to get some good defense. Like, even on paper, it's not a good defense. You know, when LSU come to town, they always going to play you tough. So, you know, you got to be on your A game.
Bryce and CJ go 1-2 last year's draft. I'm pretty sure that, like, excites you.
Yeah.
And to see what CJ is doing now as it stands today, he's leading the league in passing.
Yeah.
How does that motivate you?
Yeah, it motivated me because I seen those guys putting the work constantly, and I seen what they were doing. Even from high school, you know, Bryce always been highly ranked, but he, you know, he always had all eyes on him, but he lived up to the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
CJ, you know, he was fighting for scholarships at the end of the year, so, you know, he always had that chip on his shoulder to go out there and prove people wrong. So seeing them able, Bryce to win the Heisman, CJ to be a finalist back-to-back years. And then for me to follow them right after that, even though I'm older, it was like, man, I seen them get their name called. I'm like, man, this is reality because next year I'm going to hear my name called at some point. And I seen what CJ do. You know, we always talk, me and CJ, he actually called me on Friday night, like saying, like, congratulations on everything. I'll be watching. Bryce texted me last night. It was like, welcome to the family. So, you know, we're close. And to see what they're doing at the next level, CJ over there balling, you know.
Yeah.
Bryce is going what he's going through, but, you know, he's always been positive everything he's been through. So I'm most definitely confident he'll get through that.
Yeah, no, Bryce, it's a different situation. The NFL is tricky like that. You can see everything that's going on around Bryce in Carolina.
Yeah.
So much change, so much turnover. So I think he's going to get to a point where when they have consistency inside the building, then he'll be able to flourish.
Yeah.
And show people why he was selected number one. But right now, it's too much garbage going on in that building, man.
Yeah, Bryce
but that's
is,
the game. You got to be able to pivot.
Bryce is in a bad position. I do want to ask you, though. One, it's crazy. You just mentioned 3 California-bred quarterbacks that played at Ohio State, Alabama. You at Arizona State first, but then LSU. You know, you think about that talent within that state saying, we want to go elsewhere to show what we could do against the best in the world. And I think that's what makes definitely the 3 of you different to be on that stage and accomplish what you have. But when you're looking at people that you've played against, guys that you know you have a similar talent level to, and they are, you know, whether it's winning Heisman, being Heisman finalists, being number one and number two pick, you know, Matt Moscona played it the other day. When you went to LSU, I was on an interview. I said, I think he could win the Heisman.
Yeah.
So glad you made me right. Whew. You know what I mean? But also, too, how hard was it, JD? Because when you are as talented as you are, you have a plan. You like,
yeah.
And especially the way you play 17 tubs, only 2 picks as a freshman, you only think you're going to get better and better.
Yeah.
And it does feel like in 3 years, I could leave.
Yeah.
And then you come back and you go, you transfer to LSU, you have a great season, you have an opportunity to leave,
yeah,
and you stay. How difficult were the decisions to continue to stay in school?
It was very difficult because, you know, you kind of want to go achieve your goal. You want to go play in the NFL. You see your friends. So for me, it was like, man, I seen Brandon Ayuk get drafted first round. This is one of my best friends. I seen Rashad White ball out his last year, you know, go do his thing. And what he's doing in Tampa right now, it's like after last year, it was like, man, I want to go play in the league. I'm trying to go play in the league. But you know, I had to make that what was the best decision for me and my future. You know, Bryce and CJ, those are the two guys ahead of the quarterback talks. Mm. So sitting down, I'm like, me, my mom, and my dad, we sitting down, we like, man, I come back, you know. Ain't no other quarterback in the SEC. Bryce gone. Hendon Hooker had a great year. He gone. It was like, I'm coming back. I'll probably be the only returner. So it was like, man, I'm playing. I got another year. The whole offense coming back. So I was like, man, I have an opportunity to catapult myself, you know, to those talks. And, you know, coming back, you know, that's probably the best decision I made for myself because it's like, now I'm here. So I don't think if I left last year, I wouldn't be in this position.
How does NIL weigh into that decision? Like some guys, if it's a money situation,
yeah,
they make the decision based on that to jump and go to the NFL. How did it weigh in on your decision?
Yeah, for me, it was like, I mean, it wasn't that big of a deal for me because it's like coming back. I mean, even Sherm talked about it. He's like, I want you to come back. You're able to enjoy everything that LSU can bring you. You know, just the platform that LSU has, you know, all the grace that came through there. You know, it could bring you so much more. So coming back, I mean, I was looking for, man, I'm gonna get better, you know, so I could go make my money in the league. Mm-hmm. And then coming back, you know, I end up getting, you know, Powerade, Beast by Dre, you know, stuff like that to be able to sponsor me, but also give back to my teammates. NIL helped me out a lot, you know, just to show appreciation to the ones that helped me get to this point.
We heard you got to sign 300 footballs in a second.
Yeah.
Do you put Heisman winner 2023 on there? What's the signature?
It might start being that now. before it wasn't, but it's a little JD5 real quick. Yeah. Simple, quick and easy.
Love it.
Jay, I have a question. This is a total LSU question. How mad were you when Malik didn't win the Biletnikoff?
Man, I was hurt. I was hurt. Because I know how hard he worked.
Right.
He set goals for himself. And, you know, he's always been the underdog. And he's not supposed to be here. Everything he's been through in his life, I was hurt for him. You know, I texted him that morning. Once I found out, because I found out before they announced it, you know, I'm up here, I found out. I'm like, man. I texted him, man, I love you, dog. Just know I got your back no matter what. You know, I know he was hurt because that's something he, like, dreamt about. You know, it's on his live screen, though, the Biletnikoff. He's been on there for 2 years.
Wow.
So it was like, man, he set goals for himself. Like, you know, I'm going to break all-time records in LSU history. You know, I'm going to do stuff that nobody else done. You know, all the great receivers that came through LSU. You know, he's the first receiver back-to-back 1,000-yard seasons. You know, he has a chance to break the record for all-time yards. You know, he broke all-time catches. Mm-hmm. So everything that he's done, he beat the odds. You know, he defined everything that he did. So I was personally, I'm like, man, you know, the season he had, you know, that's my dog. So he should have been the Biletnikoff winner. And all respect to Marv.
Yeah, I get it.
But, you know, I'm always riding with Malik.
Yeah, Malik Nabers, man, I remember I was still coaching the Bootleggers, and they were talking about other wide receivers, and we really just threw him go balls.
Yeah.
And he just fought for every one of them, every single play. And you could see that he was different.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he got a ton of dog in him, man, and I think it was great, too. It was so cool, bro, to see, like, your personality at LSU.
Yeah.
Because it's so different from what we're used to in, like, our culture. You know what I mean? And for you to acclimate to that, for you to compete the way you did, become the leader that you have, like, for me, man, it was just such a blessing. And this is just my last question for you is, what are your goals going forward, right? Because the story you've written in college is one, even when you get in college, you say, man, I want to win the Heisman, I want to do this. It's still extremely hard to accomplish and sometimes hard to believe.
Yeah.
But you've done that. Now, looking at the next level, what are your goals there?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to take it one step at a time. I want to be a first-round pick. And then from there, you know, I'm going to try to break all CJ records, you know, that he set his rookie year. So, you know, he set the standard, so I'm going to try to go beat that. And then from there, you know, obviously I want to win the Super Bowl and one day I'll be able to throw on a gold jacket.
Man, I love it. Listen, man. You are forever a Tiger, but you always family. I appreciate the time, dog, and congrats, bro.
Thank y'all, man.
My dog.
Leave Florida alone.
Hey, that's just funny. That's y'all fault. Florida alone. That man said it was y'all fault.
Yeah, like I just, I wasn't even supposed to play, but I had just slid out there.
Hold up. Limitless. Niggas to me, cap pinning it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up. On the mission got me up. Knowing me, I got the key. On the vision, I can trust. Trust. Limitless. Niggas still me capping in it. I fought the head to witness it. Got my people feeling militant. Way I'm feeling got me up.